Well, good morning and welcome to the Fields Church. My name is Tim Guile. I get to serve here as one of the pastors here at the Fields Church. Welcome to Charleston. Thank you guys so much for being here today and joining us. And then welcome to anybody that's watching us online. It is such a privilege to be with you today. Before we get started, I kind of wanted to let you know of something that's happening here at the Fields Church and something that I think that we do incredibly well, which is groups. Groups are so, so important, and it is not too late. They are starting this week in June, and it is not too late to join a group, to get started, to be in one. I know groups have personally helped me. I have lifelong friends that I have been a part in groups that are still my friends today, that hold me accountable, that keep me following closer to God. And that can happen to you. You can have those lifelong friends by joining a group. You can have somebody keep you accountable and draw closer to God by joining a group. It's not too late. You can join today by going to thefields.church and clicking groups and joining a group today. Well, I am so excited about this new series that we are kicking off today. And it is this Marvel series, this study in Mark. It's absolutely, I know I'm personally super excited because I love the Marvel series. Like, I absolutely love the Marvel series. And in this passage, in this time of studying through Mark, we're going to be in it. And as you came in, you should have received this little helpful resource. It's about a bookmark size, and so if you want to get that out, I would love to help you walk through what this resource is, that when you leave today, you know what this resource is going to do. And so hopefully it will help you understand how to apply and read Scripture a little bit better. So let's go through it. It starts with S. It's going to be this acronym of SOAP, and so it starts with S, and S is Scripture. So take time reading your Bible and allow God to speak to you. When you are done, look for a verse that spoke to you that day and write it in your journal. So write it out. I know, guys, it's hard to have a journal, but go ahead, write it. I know it's changed my life by journaling, by writing things down. Get out, write it. The next is O, observation. What do you think God is saying in this scripture? Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and reveal Jesus to you. This is not what you think it means. This is what God is trying to say in this scripture. What did the Holy Spirit speak to the author then? So that's observation. Next is A, application. Personalize what you have read. So what you're reading, personalize it by asking yourself how it applies to your life right now. Write how this scripture can apply to you today. So figure out, how can it apply to me today? What can I take from this scripture and how can I use it in my life? Lastly is prayer. This can be asking God to help you use this scripture or prayer for a greater insight on what he may be revealing to you. Now write your prayer. So get it out, have a journal, use these things to help you understand, to help you talk to God and to clearly understand scripture a little bit better. So we hope this helps you through this process. As we go through the book of Mark this entire summer, hopefully this lets you understand and get to know scripture a little bit better. Like I said, I'm so excited about this Marvel series. I love Marvel. One of my best friends, Mark, he actually got me really, really into Marvel. Before, I really didn't understand Marvel. I didn't understand all the connectiveness of all the series, and I didn't really understand it. But my friend Mark, he was a comic book dude, so if you didn't know, Marvel's actually this comic book. Then now they base the movies based off these comic books, and so he knew things that were happening beforehand, so going to watch a movie with him was incredible because he could explain everything to me. And so now I understand it a little bit better, and I absolutely am in love with the Marvel movies. And so this is an absolutely amazing series that we get to be a part of. And part of the Marvel movies, I love them all, but I kind of have some of my favorites. And one of my favorites is Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is a funnier kind of one of the movies. It just kind of has some comedy. It's serious, but it kind of has some comedy. And so it's one of my favorite. And one of the scenes that I want to show you is in the beginning of the movie, and the main character's name is Peter Quill. And Peter Quill is kind of this outlaw. He steals things from people, okay? And then he goes and sells it, and that's how he makes his money, and he's well known for that. And so you kind of just have this sense of who Peter Quill is. He's kind of this outlaw and stuff, and he has a reputation that follows him. And so he goes to steal this object, and he has no idea really what he's stealing. He has no clue whatsoever. And what he's actually stealing is extremely valuable and extremely powerful. It's actually an Infinity Stone. And in the Marvel series, you know that if you watch them, the Infinity Stones are extremely important and extremely powerful. And so there's a lot of people that are trying to get this one object, and he has no idea really the power behind it or really what it is. And so this scene kind of sets that up, and I want you to take a look at this scene here.
Drop it.
Hey.
Adar Sidi Khalak, drop it now!
Hey, cool, man. No problem. No problem at all.
How do you know about this?
I don't even know what that is. I'm just a junker, man. I was just check us out.
You don't look like a junker. You're wearing Ravager Garb.
It's just an outfit, man. Ninja Turtle, you better stop poking me.
What is your name?
My name is Peter Quill, okay? Dude, chill out.
Move!
Why?
Ronan may have questions for you.
Hey, you know what? There's another name you might know me by.
Star-Lord.
Who?
Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw. Guys?
Move!
Now forget this.
This is why I love Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a serious moment. It's a tense moment. But they throw the comedy in there. And the thing that I love the most is that nobody has any clue who Star-Lord is. They have no idea who Star-Lord is. And it might have helped if he had like this huge entourage around him, or he had other people that were kind of knowing that he was kind of this important person, but they had no idea. And the person that they were coming to get was more important than who Star-Lord was, who Peter Quill really was, his alter ego. And so nobody knew who he was. Sometimes it helps to have somebody prepare the way to let them know that you are coming. And so we kind of see this in the book of Mark. We see Mark start out in chapter 1 right away in the life of Jesus, and he starts out with this idea of preparing the way. And before we get into this chapter and this verse, I want you to understand the book of Mark, give you a little bit of detail about the book of Mark. Mark was written, most likely what most scholars believe, is by John Mark, who is the one from the book of Acts. He's the one that was with Paul. He was a cousin of Barnabas. He was with Peter sometime. And so there's this timeline of this time where he was with Paul. Paul didn't want him anymore. Then he brought him back. And so he's seen a lot and he's been around a lot. And so he's telling this story about who Jesus is. And the amazing thing is he's writing to these Gentiles, to the Romans. And so he's writing to these people that are not the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are those that believed in the Old Testament. They believed in the first five books. They believed in the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments kind of thing. And so they lived by that. They lived their life to reflect that. And so the Gentiles are everyone else that didn't believe that way. And so he's writing specifically to them. And so he starts out with the life of Jesus. He doesn't talk about any of the pre-Jesus stuff, any of the pre-before his ministry. And so this is all about the life and works of Jesus. Mark is literally marveling at the life, works, and miracles of who Jesus is. And so that's kind of the background of what you can expect when it comes to Mark. And so he kicks it off right away by starting by preparing the way for this amazing story that we're going to get into. And so we're going to start in Mark chapter 1, right? It's a good place to start. If you're going to start in a book, you don't start in the middle, you start in the beginning, right? And so we're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to be in verses 1 through 13, but I want to first stop at verse 8. So we're going to be in 1 through 8 to start out with. And the reason why I want to start there is because this is where we get ready for good news. So as we're beginning to marvel at this story in Mark, like in the life of Jesus, let's get ready for good news. Let's get ready for some good news today. Are you ready for some good news today? I know I am. So let's start in verse 1. It says this in verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I love this part because it parallels so closely with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so Mark is starting out right here. In the beginning, there's something new that's happening. There's something new that's starting. And in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then I want you to pay attention to this word, the gospel. Gospel. We as Christians, or we that believe in Jesus, we sometimes just throw around this word really fast all the time. The gospel of Jesus. And really, what the gospel simply means is good news. So let's read it this way. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's get ready for some good news because Jesus is coming. This is the beginning story of Jesus Christ. Let's marvel at the story of Jesus Christ. And then he starts and says it, as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet. So he's now showing you that this is something that was foretold hundreds of years ago. And there's actually two prophecies right here, one from Malachi 3:1, and then one from Isaiah 43, okay? And so you see this, and so you're going to see two of them connected. And he's saying, in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now keep an eye on wilderness. He repeats this word over and over throughout the book of Mark. Prepare the way of the Lord, make the paths straight. John appeared baptizing in the wilderness, there we go again, and proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to stop right there. This prophecy, like we need, when we talk about marveling at Jesus, this prophecy of John the Baptist coming before Jesus was hundreds and hundreds of years before he even came. Like, when you see movies and they talk about, you're like, oh man, that's crazy what happened. And here we literally have the Bible, we have Mark literally saying in this moment that hundreds of years prior was predicted that John the Baptist would come and do this exact thing. And then it says that he was baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin. John started talking about what Jesus was going to do before Jesus even did it. I mean, if that's not something to marvel at, I don't know what is. John was literally talking about what Jesus was coming to do. He started even preaching about it because there was this period of time when there was nobody that was hearing from God. There was no prophets. There was this dead period, this silence of period of time. And so John was coming literally to literally prepare the way and prepare hearts to receive Jesus when he came. And so then it goes on to say this, and all, okay, catch that. And all, yes, it's a little exaggeration. Yes, he's saying tons of people of the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honeys. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The amazing thing is that John is talking about this repentance of sin. He's talking about these forgiveness of sin. He's talking about this baptism that is happening and this life of Jesus that is to come. And he's saying that I have done these things, but there's somebody that's going to come that's even greater than me. You think I'm the one, but I'm not the one. In John 1, it actually talks about that, how he's not the one and how people ask him if he's the one. He's like, no, there's somebody else that's coming. And John is literally trying to prepare the way for Jesus. The amazing part about who John is, and what I want us to get this understanding of when we read verse 6, it talks about this camel hair. Like, I have no idea what wearing camel hair would look like. Like what that would feel like. That has to be rough. That has to like just not feel good. He's got a leather belt on him. Like, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. Like, the dude is weird. Like, if you saw that dude, like, you'd be like, man, I don't know if I could. But people are coming to him. People are coming. But the reason why they described and why Mark described that is because that is the same language that was used for the prophet Elijah. And if you've ever read in any kind of 1 Kings or 2 Kings, I encourage you, if you do not know the story of Elijah, go to 1 Kings or 2 Kings. He's one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. And the things that God did through him is absolutely incredible. And so he's using this language to kind of show you that he's a prophet, that he's called by God to do these things. And so it kind of signifies kind of the way that they lived out in the wilderness, that he was giving himself to God and he was doing these amazing things. And so John then says, what is the most amazing part of all, what I find so amazing in this passage, is that he says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Like, not even the slaves did that. That was so menial in that time that not even the slaves would untie anybody's sandals. It was the lowest of lows. And John says that I'm not even worthy to untie this. See, John was preparing the way for something greater. He had come to let everyone know that there is something bigger and better that you need to be aware of. There's something that's coming to save the world. There's a hero that's coming that you can marvel at for the rest of your life. See, he was preparing the way for Jesus, and I think sometimes we need to prepare the way and open the door for someone in our own life. See, prepare the way and open the door for someone. I don't know who that is in your life. I don't know where you are in your life, but I believe maybe it's your family, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your aunt and uncle, maybe it's your grandkids, maybe it's your coworkers. But we need to prepare the way and open the door for someone. See, John the Baptist was preparing the way and opening the door for those in Judea and all the other area to accept who Jesus Christ was. So we need to start telling our story. We need to start preparing the way. We need to start letting people know who Jesus is. We need to start marveling at who he is. See, John wasn't all focused on what he was doing and what was happening in his own life and his own ministry and how many people he was baptizing. He wasn't counting that. He didn't even want to baptize Jesus. He thought he was unworthy. So sometimes we have to lay down your own pride so that others can thrive. We need to let other people thrive. We need to let other people come to know who Jesus is. In spite of us, in spite of what we have, our purpose is to let people know who Jesus is. John knew his purpose, and it was to talk about Jesus, and it was to prepare the way for Jesus. So lay down your pride so that others can thrive. Let others thrive. Let other people, let other leaders, let other people thrive. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know the way to who Jesus is. And that untying of the thing is that Jesus, that Mark marveled at who Jesus was. He literally was in awe of who was to come. He knew what was happening, and he was ready to marvel at who Jesus was. And that's the second thing, is get ready to marvel. Like, let's get ready to marvel at who Jesus is again. We saw all this prophecy about John the Baptist. We see that John says he's even greater than me. I'm not even worthy to untie his own shoes. He is the greatest of all. So let's get ready to marvel at who Jesus is. It says this in verse 9 and 11. It says, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. In Matthew, it talks about how John was like, Jesus, I can't do it. Like, I'm not worthy to do this. Please don't let. And John was like, okay. And Jesus was like, okay, you're going to have to do it anyways, John. Like, this is what is to happen. And so John's like, okay. And so he baptizes him. And I can only imagine him seeing how unworthy he is, how marvelous Jesus is, how much of a struggle that had to be to decide that he's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do this. But Jesus had to do it to fill all the righteousness of what he was coming here to do. And so then when he's baptizing him, okay, he's baptizing him. And he's like, okay, I'm coming. And then when he comes out of the water, immediately, pay attention to this word immediately. Mark uses this a lot too throughout Scripture. So immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. I have no idea what this looks like. Like the heavens being ripped open, like the sky. Like I have no idea. I can only imagine John, his jaw is just dropping right now. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending on him like a dove. So this thing coming out of the sky looks like a dove, and it's descending on him. And then a voice from heaven, like all of a sudden, literally an audible voice, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. Like, I can't do a God voice, like that's not good, I get that. But I can only imagine what this sounded like in John and everybody else that's there, that all his followers, everybody else that's getting ready to prepare, all they're just, there's no words. Literally, you would be left in silence. Like, there's no words for what is about to happen. And so many times when I see this, like, Jesus had to have this moment happen. He had to let people know that this is what's to come, is you are to get baptized. This is what's happening. And this is when God is saying, you know what, this is my son whom I am well pleased. He's announcing his public ministry that I'm here to do my purpose, that I'm here for this one reason, and I'm here to be the hero that everybody needed. I'm here to save the world. And so in this moment, this is happening. And the amazing thing is you see the Trinity. You see all three in one. There's this Trinity where it's three, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. And so you have three of them that are separate, that are one. I know it's super confusing. I'm not going to get into the details of what the Trinity and all that stuff is, but know that the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all three at his baptism working in one, in unison. It's this amazing moment where he announces that he's ready and that this is happening. This is my son and this is what he's come to do. And so when I look at these scenes, when I read the Bible over and over again, I can't, some of these things, there's no pictures, right? Unless you're reading a little kid's Bible. And even those are really bad. Like, they're not very good pictures. And so it's really hard to like see what this moment would be when like the heavens tore open and things came out of the sky and a voice was speaking. And so I immediately go to like movies and like, what would it look like? Like, so my version in my head when I read that is this moment in the movie Thor. And Thor is this kind of like godlike character who gets cast out because he's an arrogant young man that doesn't know, that's not ready for the title that he has yet. And so he gets cast out to Earth and he goes through this process and there's an attack on Earth and he comes down and he realizes that he begins to start to humble himself. He begins to start to humble himself, and this moment happens where it seems like he's once again worthy of the title. And there's this moment in time when everybody realizes who Thor is again. And this is kind of like how I look at what the baptism of Jesus would have been like. Take a look at this clip here.
Whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
That's what I look at the bat, like the things coming out of heaven, like people in awe, people smile, not even saying anything, just in awe of what is happening. Yeah, and that's just a movie. That's a movie about a fictional character. And here we have Scripture, Mark's literally writing this account of who God is. And the heavens open up and God is saying, "This is my son." And it all is preparing, John is preparing the way for this moment in time. Have we lost our marvel of who Jesus is? Can we once again get ready to marvel at who Jesus is? This isn't just some story that we can just read over quickly that he was baptized in water and then brought out and that was it. Like literally the heavens, it says the heavens tore open. Like there was an audible voice. It had to be an absolutely incredible cinematic scene in that moment. So what are we marveling at? Are we marveling more at the opening of Endgame when it's one of the highest grossing films that ever lived? And so we're so focused on Endgame that we'll do everything that we can to set time aside to go watch that. But yet, every single day of our life, we never read the amazing story of Jesus Christ. We never crack open our Bibles. We never crack open the story of Mark, the book of Mark and the story of Jesus. And so we're just sitting here all along, never marveling at who Jesus is. What are we marveling at? Are we marveling at the life that we wish we had? Are we marveling at the promotion that we wish we had? Are we marveling at our own kids, our own families? Our status, our money? Let's get back to marveling at who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the one who came in amazing fashion. When his ministry started, there was a cinematic scene that would take our breath away. That is the Jesus that we can marvel at. And the amazing thing about that story is there's this moment in time when Jesus is being anointed, when he's being labeled the Son of God, and it opens up. And then Mark goes into great detail about the next few passages. And these passages are so important to the story and life of Jesus that sometimes we can read over them very quickly and we can skip over them. And Jesus had this amazing moment, but he knew this one moment wasn't his ultimate purpose. See, sometimes we are so focused on the moment that we avoid the refinement. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we are so focused on the moment that we avoid the refinement. And Mark talks about this exact thing because immediately after Jesus was baptized, he had to go get refined in the wilderness. So let's get ready to be refined. Let's get ready to be refined. Jesus had to do it. We need to do it. Let's not skip it. Let's not avoid it. Let's go after it. So it says this, picking up in verse 12, it says, the Spirit immediately, there's that word again, immediately drove him out into the wilderness. There's the other word, wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And I love this part. And he was with the wild animals. Like, why did Mark, like, okay, cool. Like, he just threw out, and he was with the wild animals. Like, okay, like, why is that important? It just tells you the danger. It tells you the circumstance that Jesus was actually in. He's literally in the wilderness, all alone, being tempted by Satan. And there's wild animals all around him, and he's there for 40 days. It's dangerous. Like, the wilderness is no joke. It's hard. It's tough. But then here's the amazing thing, as it says, and the angels were ministering to him. See, too many times we avoid the wilderness because we're afraid of what the wilderness brings. But Jesus didn't just focus on this one moment in time. He knew he had a greater purpose to accomplish. And today, are you avoiding that wilderness in your own life? Are you so focused on a past moment, a past high, a past emotion, that you've avoided the wilderness, you've avoided the refinement process entirely because you're so focused on that moment? And because of that, you haven't accomplished the purpose that God's asked you to accomplish. See, you can't accomplish the purpose in your life until you get out of the wilderness what God wants you to get out of the wilderness. See, Jesus immediately went into the wilderness. He didn't hesitate. He submitted to God's will. And he was tempted. And he was in danger at all turns. But yet he withstood. He was refined. And he began to get ready for the punishment that was going to come his way in just a couple years. The amazing ministry of Jesus was starting in the wilderness. It was starting in the wilderness place. Like, I don't know where you are. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know if you're in a wilderness journey. I don't know if you're in this baptism moment of this high. But I know that you can't have the purpose and the call of God be completed until you get out of the wilderness what you're supposed to get out of the wilderness so you can accomplish the purpose that God has called you to. We must not avoid the wilderness. We must submit to it and allow God to refine us in that process. The refining process is taking out all those impurities, taking out all those things that are not supposed to be there, that are not in God's will, that are disobedient to God's purpose, that are the hurts and pains that God wants to take away, that God wants to restore, that God wants to redeem in your life. Yes, the wilderness can be a scary place, but can it also be a place where you truly live out your purpose and you're ready for the purpose and the praise that is going to come your way. But are we so focused on that one moment that we're not ready to truly live out our purpose? Are we so focused on more Instagram followers, on more Twitter followers, on more Facebook friends, on what people assume about us and make it look like we are better than what we are? Are we so focused on that one area that we're not allowing the wilderness to shape us, to refine us, and to let us be the men and women of God that God has called you to be? We need to become the men and women of God that God has called us to be, because each and every single one of us has a purpose, and it's to tell everyone about who Jesus is. John was preparing the way. John prepared the way for Jesus to come, for people to open up their hearts to receive who Jesus was. So may we once again marvel at the greatness of Jesus. Can we say once again, Jesus, you're amazing. I'm so in awe of your presence. I'm in awe of who you are. I'm in awe of what you've done. I'm in awe that you can submit yourself in the highest of highs, in the moment that you are declared God, that you would go and you would leave it and you would go to be tempted so that you could be ready for your ultimate purpose. Let us not take our eyes off of our ultimate purpose, which is to tell others about who Jesus is. Let us start to prepare the way for somebody else to know who Jesus is. Jesus is the amazing Savior of the world. He is the greatest hero, and he can come into any situation, he can come into any life, and he's right there by any wilderness journey, by any temptation that you may ever face, because he's been there and he's done it. And that is the God that we get to serve. So today, maybe like John the Baptist, you need to prepare the way for somebody. Or maybe today you're saying, you know what? I just want to accept Jesus in my own life. Maybe somebody else has already prepared the way for you to accept who Jesus is. And maybe today you're saying, you know what? I want to marvel at who this Jesus is, and I want a relationship with this Jesus. Maybe you have no idea who Jesus even is, and today you say, you know what? I want to begin this relationship, and I want to marvel at who Jesus is. And I want to pray for you. I want to agree with you, and I want you to pray with me. But I also want to pray for those that might be going through a wilderness journey or who are avoiding the wilderness. Let's let God shape us and refine us into the men and women of God that we are called to be. May we accomplish the purpose that God has set us out to accomplish, because each and every single one of us has a purpose and a design, and God wants to use you, and he wants you to accomplish your purpose here on earth. So may we get refined. May we follow and marvel at the life of Jesus, that in that moment, when we not focus on the one shining moment, but when we focus and marvel at the life of Jesus and follow after his example and head into the wilderness to be refined and shaped into the men and women of who God is. But if today you want this relationship, first, before we pray for that, let's pray for this relationship. If you want to marvel at who God is, if you've never marveled at who God is and who Jesus is, I want to pray with you right now. And I believe that you can have a relationship with Jesus right now in this moment. So let's pray and let's marvel at who Jesus is. Let's pray.